Welcome to season 3 of Recovery Rocks. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Tawny. We're so excited to be back. And we are also excited to be sponsored by Tempest for this season. Tempest is a program that helps you stop drinking and start feeling better. As of this spring, they have a brand new membership program that offers monthly content, community, and expert guidance. You can learn more about all of their different membership options right now by heading to jointempest.com.
We are huge fans of Tempest. We know what fantastic work they're doing to help people stop drinking.
Absolutely. And what we love about them is that they're also super inclusive of all communities. Hey, it is Tawny and Lisa.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. We have an episode today called The Sober Conversation. And what the hell does that mean? That means the conversation of, you know, explaining why you're not drinking. Do you even need to explain? How do you navigate these kinds of conversations with coworkers, with friends, with yourself,
right,
with families? It's a conversation that's ongoing, you know, very similar to coming out.
Right.
You know, when you come out, you don't just come out once.
Right.
You keep meeting new people and they, quote, need to know who the real you is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you navigate that? And how do you also establish some boundaries with understanding that, like, you know what? Nope.
I don't owe you an explanation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know what? I'm not drinking. And you don't need to know anything else.
No is a complete sentence.
No is a complete sentence. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today. Our expert, Lisa Smith. Our relationships expert,
Our
Lisa
relationships
Smith.
Expert. Yeah, right.
What does that mean to you? How have you done this?
So it's really kind of fascinating because we're talking about the sober conversation. Sober conversation has changed so much over the years.
Yeah.
Since, right? So I've been sober more than 15 years. When I got sober, I came out of detox and I had, you know, no sober references, no sober friends, no sober whatever. But I was very clear that, you know, my family and my friends, I had to tell, you know, what had happened, that I had really crashed out and that's why I went to detox and that now I was going to not drink and whatever. And so that conversation was clear with them. But you know, one of the reasons that I hadn't reached out for help earlier was I was terrified of, like, what would my law firm think of me? My coworkers, like, how could I say, you know, tell them, like, oh, I don't drink anymore because I, you know, I went to detox or whatever. I'm in outpatient rehab now. Like, I wasn't willing to do that because there's a huge stigma in a lot of places, but certainly in law firms and certainly, like, 15 years ago, for sure. And, you know, that was why after I got out of, you know, I did the 5-day detox and then I was unwilling to go to a 30-day or longer inpatient program and instead went to intensive outpatient 2 nights a week because I went directly back to work because I was so terrified of telling them anything or having them find out why I had been out. I told them the week before, like, hey, you know, I had a medical emergency over the weekend. I'm going to be gone this week, but I'm gonna be in the hospital, but everything is fine. Please don't worry. I'll see you next week. Because I knew they couldn't ask me for a doctor's note if I was out 5 days. You know, that I could be out 5 straight days sick, but if I was out sick a sixth, that there would need to be a doctor's note of what was going on. Not necessarily what was going on, but a doctor saying, you know, Lisa needs to be on leave for 30 days or whatever it was. So I went right back. And, you know, my fear had been like that I had left the Friday before. It was a Monday morning when I crashed out and when I bottomed out. And so I felt like I left the Friday before considered, you know, capable, reliable, smart member of the team. And that if somehow they found out that I had an alcohol problem and then was coming back, that, you know, they would view me somehow as like weak or defective and certainly not reliable.
Well, and keep in mind, like, in case if someone doesn't know your story, this was 16 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like you're saying, the conversation has changed
so much.
So much to where, you know, we're in a landscape now to where it's, you know, people are talking about mental health and, you know, sobriety is somehow trendy.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like that.
Oh, no.
Especially in the legal profession.
Oh, God. Or in any sort of workplace. Yeah. Yeah. And so, no, I was diagnosed in the detox with major depressive disorder and put on antidepressants. And, you know, a lot of what my diagnosis was that I had likely been self-medicating this depression kind of all my life from the time I was a kid in, you know, a young kid and used to like huff yodels like crazy. But that's what, you know, I had been doing, self-medicating, and I was going to then appropriately medicate with antidepressants and therapy and program recovery and all that stuff. So I went back to work and, you know, my drinking buddies, like, you know, hey, you know, first of all, everybody was like, they totally bought the hospital thing because that, or that I had had this medical emergency that got fixed because they were like, oh my God, you look so much better. Meanwhile, I had been detoxed for 5 days.
Yeah.
And like, you know, right before I left, you know, I looked like an unripe banana. I was like, you know, I don't even know what I looked like, but I definitely looked better the following week. And, you know, I was throwing up blood at the end. It was like, I was really sick. And, so they were like, oh, let's, you know, one of my friends was like, let's go, we'll go after work and we'll go get a drink and I'll fill you in on everything you missed last week. And I was like, I can't drink. I'm on this medication. And which was true. You're not supposed to drink on antidepressants. And, you know, now I'm on this medication after the hospital. And he was like, oh, that sucks. And I was like, you have no idea. But yeah, so like to me, when people would say to me, because I was like, you know, life of the party at work events and stuff like that. And people would be like, what? Lisa Smith isn't drinking? Like what? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm on this medication. You know, so that was my excuse. And then then people stopped asking after a while, you know?
Yeah.
And it's tough because, I mean, in the legal profession, you, as in many other professions, like in finance or in advertising or in, you know, certainly in entertainment, whatever, there's alcohol everywhere. Like, that's how people do business. It's how they socialize. It's how, like, what do you do with that? Because you need to be interacting with colleagues and coworker, you know, and at functions and things like that.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? I mean, to me, I just, you know, if somebody said, you're not drinking. Like if there was wine being served at a dinner and they were about to pour in, I would say like, no thanks. And my, you know, whatever people, and not all the time did they ask, but people not infrequently were like, oh, you're not drinking any wine or you're not drinking. And I would just say, no, I'm not drinking tonight.
Yeah.
And if,
which is true.
I'm not drinking tonight. You know, they, I don't care what you think. You might think I'm pregnant. You might think, you know, whatever. You might think I'm in recovery. I don't care what you think about me is none of my business. I really don't care. Like that was one of the things I had to cross over in order to get to like no is a complete sentence and be willing to say, you know, because if you say to somebody, I'm not drinking tonight, you know, or I'm just not drinking tonight, they will rarely say why. You know what I mean? Like that's
I got why a lot.
If you said I'm not drinking tonight.
Oh,
that it was the tonight that actually worked really well for me.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I never tried the tonight thing.
Yeah. Or I would say, like, I'm on some medication.
Yeah.
If I wanted to. But, like, I didn't, you know, I certainly wasn't going to be like, no, I don't drink.
Yeah.
And even now, like, if somebody says something, I will pretty much say I don't drink. But it was a long time before I did that.
Well, and you got a little bit
just
more.
Just because it's nobody's business.
Well, it's no one's business. And it's also, how unfortunate is it that, you know, we live in a society where if you decide to stop taking a drug, you have to explain it to
people. The only drug that you have to explain.
It's the only drug that you have to tell people and justify. And people want, like, a really good reason.
Yeah.
Like,
is that what your experience has been?
Yeah.
Getting?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, I was a bartender, so I was in...
Right, people are like, do a shot with the bartender.
Exactly. So I was in this booze-soaked world.
Yes.
Where I didn't know what it was like to work a normal job.
Yeah.
This is like, this is what I do, this is what my friends do when we're not bartending, we're on the other side of the bar drinking.
Right.
So it's just, that was my whole life.
Yep, yep.
So to tell people that, you know, I didn't get sober until I left the bar scene, But I definitely tried to cut back on drinking while I was still bartending, only to get answers of like, why are you doing that? Like, but
right.
but it's my bachelorette party, but we're going to New Orleans next week. But it's like, you know, there was all these reasons like, well, can't you cut back after New Orleans? And I'm just like,
right.
And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
You know, whereas like if I would have had someone that was supportive in that time, like maybe I would have stopped drinking sooner.
Right.
But, you know, and in reverse, I was that person too.
I was just going to say, you know, feel like it was because the person, it was more about that person's drinking than about you drinking? You're drinking?
Yes.
Like, it was more like, wait a minute, if you're not drinking.
Well, yeah, because it, you know, sobriety is often a mirror for other people. And it, you know, your sobriety is a direct reflection of their relationship to alcohol. You know, most of the time. Anyone who gives you shit about sobriety is going to have some sort of unhealthy relationship with booze or drugs.
Right.
Like, that's just the reality of the situation. But, you know, when I was a binge drinker, I was a pusher of it, too. Like, I was always trying to get people to drink more. If someone was telling me, like, you know what, I'm not taking shots tonight, I'm just doing beers, I would be that asshole who would go buy them shots.
And be like, drink it.
Yeah, like, pussy, you can't, I'm gonna drink you under the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I gave that and I got that.
Yeah.
So I was not in a healthy environment. But,
right.
you know, I will say once I got to New York and I made a new circle of friends that where whether they were still drinking, but they were just in a different headspace. No one was bartending. We were all writers and like creatives who were like not trying to get wasted.
Yeah.
So when I was telling my new friends, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to drink tonight. Or maybe I don't know whether it was tonight or not, whether saying like I'm not going to drink. They're like, OK, so what do you want? You know, the burger looks good. You know, like,
right.
It was like it was a
yeah, whatever.
It's a non-issue.
Yeah.
So I think it's like it's more of the red flag of look at who is questioning you wanting to better yourself.
Right.
Because that I mean, looking back now, I can see those were huge red flags of people that are not they were not supportive of my sobriety.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so and making friends now that are supportive of whether it's sobriety or you just wanting to become healthier.
Right. Like, anything.
It's
right.
Yeah. Like you need friends that are supportive.
Yes.
Of what you're doing. And then eventually, kind of like you're saying, you got to this place of confidence of no is a complete sentence. That is something that is really challenging that I'm still struggling with, that I know a lot of other people are, where you like for some reason when we just say no thanks, that's we feel bad.
Right, like we owe them more of an explanation.
Yeah, like why do we feel bad for this? Like
right. And I think, you know, the one of the things I think the one of the really important voices on all of this is our friend Holly Whitaker.
Yes.
Who has really been at the forefront of having that conversation about like, hey, we don't need to put a toxin in our bodies. We don't have to explain why we don't put a toxin in our bodies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very empowering thing to do that and to have a community that's speaking up about it. I think another, I think you've had really interesting thoughts on the what you've termed sober tourism.
Yes.
Which is also part of the conversation now.
Yeah. So I wrote an article for the Temper called it's a long title. It's about sober tourism. Like you want to cut back on drinking. Here's how to do it without. Wait, what is
no,
it?
No, it was sort of like
cut back
like
on.
Don't you're doing Dry January because you think it's Instagrammable kind of thing.
Yeah, it's basically how to try on sobriety. Without being offensive to the sober community where. You know, in the Dry January and people that are doing Whole 30 or paleo or all sorts low sugar diets that are cutting back on booze, you know, they're somewhat integrating themselves into the sober space, which is great. Like, come on over.
Right.
And don't post a picture of you and your mimosa on day 31.
Celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
You made it.
Exactly. You know, because like. To people like Lisa and I, sobriety is not a month-long thing. This is our life.
Yeah, and for me, it was very much like life or death.
It's, yeah.
Like I said, there was some meme, like one of those things where, you know, it's those those like cartoonish kind of looking women in the 50s.
Yeah.
Sort of things. And one of them is like saying, oh, Janet, you're sober. That's so trendy right now.
Yeah.
And then the other one is answers like, what the fuck, Beth? You know, like I go to sit in a circle and talk about my past because I almost died, you know, like just totally like it's not for many, many people. It is life or death. Like I believe firmly, even, you know, 15 years sober, that if I pick up a drink, I'm on the path to dying. No question. I have chosen to like sort of get back on that self-destructive path. Like I can't, you know, that is not something for me to try on.
Well, exactly. And I'm so glad you brought that point up because sobriety for us was something we had to do to take care of our lives.
Yeah.
It was like first we made a decision.
We were fortunate that we didn't get killed when we were drinking.
You're right. Like we could have many times.
Yeah.
And so when people that are, you know, doing a dry January or something like that, that are, you know, looking into sobriety, just think about stuff. Think about stuff
like that.
It's
great, and we totally encourage that, and it's a wonderful thing, but it's also, like, you know, a life and death thing for a lot of people.
It is. It's definitely, it's not a trend for Lisa and I.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of other people that are, that have made a lifelong, you know, we say one day at a time, mm-hmm. but it's also, this is our lifestyle. This is, like, we're not doing, you know, at the end of 30 days, mm-hmm. we're going to celebrate with a beer. It's,
right.
you know, this is how we live our lives, and it's something to be respected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and on another note, when it comes to, you know, navigating those new friendships.
Yes.
In sobriety or sober curiosity
mm-hmm.
and telling those friends of yours, you know, these conversations that we're talking about, you're going to figure out who your real friends are
yeah.
and who your drinking buddies are.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is it's painful. To be completely blunt, I mean, that was a very painful part. I've lost mm-hmm. friends. I lost people that I thought were close friends. But then, you know, the
was
friendships.
Was part of that the mirror thing? That
yeah.
your sobriety was a mirror to them?
Yeah.
Of
people didn't like that I was sober. People didn't like that I was so open about it. You know, I.
Like you should be ashamed of it somehow or.
No, just the fact that I was, I mean, maybe, but
or
the
that
fact
it reflected
that I was.
They were the people you used to hang out with.
Yeah,
so it made
I mean,
because
I was, you know, blogging about like my party girl days. And
yeah.
so I guess the certain people from my past
cocaine
felt like.
By association.
Like, yes, like people felt like I was talking shit about them. And I never, you know,
I didn't name
names or anything like that, but I was speaking my authentic story.
Right.
And sharing that. And that's just part of being a writer.
Yeah.
You know, people in your lives are going to have issues with mm-hmm. what you write about sometimes. But, you know, I've gained so many
yeah.
amazing friends.
That's a whole new life.
And yeah, it's a whole new life. So it's like there is something that you need to discern with, like, who am I going to move forward with on this journey?
Mm-hmm.
Who actually does deserve the full story of why you're not drinking?
Yeah.
Because there are
and
some
to
people.
Be part of my story going forward.
You're right. And there are some people who deserve that full story.
Yeah.
And people that care about you. And,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And how to have that conversation. And also maybe, you know, I need to cut ties with so-and-so because they're not supportive of me right now. And,
yeah.
And figuring out how to do that, that's tough.
Yeah. You know, it was when I, like the last, for me, the last 18 months were cocaine and alcohol around the clock. And I used to hang out all the time at this bar across the street from where I lived. And, you know, there were a bunch of people in there. I don't even think I knew most of their last names, but like I saw them all the time. Like you talk about your life, you get drunk, like, you know, everything, blah, 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 this one, that one, they're your best friends, blah, blah, blah. And then Monday, you know, it was a Monday morning when I went to detox when I decided to go to detox, and I never went back to that bar and I never heard from a single one of those people again.
Yeah.
I wondered if they were like, at any point, like, hey, whatever happened to that chick Lisa that used to come in here every
night? Did they have your number?
Some of them did.
And they,
a couple of them did. Not many of them even did. But, like,
yeah.
I always wonder, like, what did that look like to them? And the couple who did, I didn't, you know, I never heard from. But it made me wonder, like, did they, like, 3 months later go, like, whatever happened, you know, to that chick Lisa?
Yeah.
And then actually one day, a few months later, I was walking by the bar and it was, like, in the middle of the day. And I saw that the bartender that I knew really well was bartending. And I just stuck my head in and I was like, hey, Kenny, how you doing? And he was like, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, I stopped drinking. He's like, that's what I figured.
Oh.
You know? So
was that hard to go back into?
I didn't even walk all the way in. You know what I mean? It was a small place. And I just like stuck my head to say hi. And then just a couple months later, it closed. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Was it because I stopped spending my entire paycheck there?
Yeah.
So it was like, wow, I saw really quick who was around, you know, for what. And like, I have to say, there is a real fear, like people that I hear people express that, and I had it too before I got sober, which was, you know, are people still going to want to hang out with me? What about my friends? Because we go out and drink, you know? And my friends, who are my true friends, who I write about in the book, who are still my friends today, they were like, you know, we just want you to get better. Like, we will have breakfast with you. We'll go to a museum with you, you know, because like I said, you know, I lived like a vampire. Well, and I never knew that there was stuff you could do in the day. Like, you could meet a friend for breakfast. You could meet a friend for coffee in the afternoon. Like, what?
You could walk through the park. There's so much to do that has nothing to do with alcohol, and none of it interested me.
No.
I was completely disinterested in anything that I couldn't drink at.
Right.
But and then you discover this literally a whole new world.
Yeah. And I have to say that one of the things like with this, so like different than the sober tourism, which to me is like that idea of I'm going to do this and then I'm like going to show that because it's basically proving to yourself that you can go 30 days without a drink and then you pick up a drink and you can feel better about your drinking.
And we've all done
Right. But there's also like a lot of people who do it because they're like, maybe I should get sober. And that whole idea of sober curious, our friend Ruby Warrington wrote Sober Curious, the book, which we love, and we love Ruby. And, you know, that there are people who are saying like, hey, I'm sober curious. I want to see what it's like. I may get sober, I may not, but I'm here for it. That is such an important thing.
It is.
Such a good, positive thing because, you know, for me, I don't know that I would have gotten sober curious just because of the way my story was. But I have, like, no doubt that there are people who have gone to, you know, the club soda events, which are
Ruby's events, that
are alcohol free, and saw cool people hanging out, doing cool things, having normal conversations that, you know, I had no sober references. I had no sober, you know, I couldn't see a cool group of cool people out there.
Yeah.
Like now you can, and you can be like, you know, I really don't like where my drinking is going. Maybe I want to check out. And there's a whole community that you can, you know, check it out with. And that's a very, very different thing too.
It is. And it's important that Ruby has really created this, a space for people like that are, you know, like I definitely want to drink less, but I don't want to go to an AA meeting. I'm not an alcoholic. Like, I don't want to stop drinking, but I do want to know a little bit more about my relationship to alcohol. And that's where Ruby and her wonderful work comes in. And because she's really tapped into a community that was completely underserved.
100%.
And, you know, and I think if I would have heard about the Sober Curious movement back then, I would have loved that because I had tried to stop drinking so many times. And, you know, and you know, 12-step wasn't for me.
Right.
And at that, around that time, that was the only thing. That was the only option. It's like you either go to a meeting and you identify as an alcoholic or you're, quote, normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always knew I was somewhere in that gray area, but I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. So Ruby has really made a home to where these people know that they're not alone.
Right.
And it's okay to be, it's more than okay to be sober curious. It's wonderful to question your relationship.
It's great. And it might lead you to saying, I don't, you know, like Ruby's journey, which really was in her first book, which was Material Girl, Mystical World, you know, was that as she was trying to get more in touch with, you know, kind of spirituality and all these things, she found alcohol didn't serve her.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't, you know, I thought that was really interesting. And now, like, we had as our guest on the pod, Sherry, who does Served Up Sober, and her events are open for sober and very much sober curious people. It is not like you have to be one or the other to learn about what life, you know, could be like without alcohol.
Yeah, it's just it's a booze-free event right. at the end of the day where we're going to do some soul searching.
Right.
You know, and like and that's wonderful that these spaces are popping up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as all of this happens and as the conversation continues, it is becoming, you know, and as sort of, you know, for lack of a better word, as sobriety has become trendy, it's okay to be like, I don't drink. Like, it's a more than when I, you know, was saying I'm not drinking today, tonight or whatever. I can't drink. I'm on medication, which is still totally fine to say. But, you know, it's also there have been more and more. And thanks to, you know, what Holly's done and all of that, I think there is growing kind of acceptance in the mainstream of just being like, no, I just choose not to drink.
Yeah, it's more acceptable now. And I'm finding people are questioning it less. People are actually celebrating it.
I think that's
now.
Right.
Now, like I tell people that I'm sober and they're like, wow, cool.
Cool.
Good
right.
for you. And I was
right.
like, that's a new response.
Right. When I would tell people I was sober, when I first got sober, they were like, you are? What happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, what happened?
Or like, ooh. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to be miserable. And it's
yeah.
like, wait, no. That was miserable. The drinking was miserable.
It was. I mean, I thought sobriety was just going to be like sitting at home, twiddling my thumbs in
oh
sweatpants and
yeah.
not hanging out or dating or going travel. Like
doing new things.
I thought that alcohol was really like my passport to life.
Right. No, me too. There was no fun equals alcohol. Like there had to be alcohol.
It was
for
always
there to be
involved.
Fun.
Yeah. Like how am I going to go to a heavy metal concert
oh
and
God.
Not be shit faced? And like, yeah. we're doing it.
We went to see the Rolling Stones.
We did.
Totally sober. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's an amazing thing. And this whole, I think the whole connection of community that speaks up now online about it, it's just part of a conversation that has grown and grown and grown. And so I think, you know, for me, like looking at, if you would have told me in my first, you know, 10 years of recovery, like, hey, you're going to do a podcast about being sober, I'd be like, what?
I know.
I don't go around talking about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I put a pot. What's a podcast? You
know? Yeah.
Like, I just wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have imagined that it was something. And, you know, we're popping up all over and all these, you know, various ways to connect.
There are. There's lots of people that are bravely sharing their stories through.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote a book.
I did.
And, you know, like, we're talking about Holly and Ruby have written books. There's so many podcasts and blogs and event series that are popping up.
Yeah.
Sober and sober curious spaces that are popping up everywhere. Like not just in big cities,
no.
but in
oh yeah. Yeah.
They're everywhere yeah. now. And it's and of course, you know, the digital scene.
Which is huge. You never have to be alone.
You're never alone.
Right. Right. So well, I'm glad I am having this sober conversation with you.
Me too. And We're not alone.
We're not alone. No, we're never alone.
We have a wonderful...
And we're grateful for that.
I have a wonderful co-host.
Yes. Mine is the best.
Oh, well, mine's pretty cool. Mine has great hair.
Mine has the best hair. Until next time.
Until next time. See you soon. Thanks again to Tempest for making season 3 of Recovery Rocks possible. You can find my work at tawnylara.com, TawnyLara. Find me on social media at Tawny M. Lara. And you can follow my blog at sobrietyparty.com, sobrietea. Lisa, where can we find your work?
You can find my work on my website, lisasmithadvisory.com. You can also find me on social at Girl Walks Out. And you can find my book, Girl Walks Out of a Bar, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any other book-selling websites.
And make sure to click subscribe whenever you're listening to our podcast. You can get new episodes from Lisa and I every week directly to your phone.
Exciting.
In your pocket, like Alanis Morissette.
And then if you like what you hear, please rate us and review us. And thanks so much again for listening.